Up next, the Handy Guys in Findlay, Ohio.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
All right, Brian, in this episode, we are the ones that get interviewed. So often we are interviewing others, but we got a call from a newspaper in Findlay, Ohio. And they, one of the writers there, Joy Brown, from the Courier newspaper in Findlay. And she had some questions for the Handy Guys, as if we know anything. Oh, I guess we know a few things.
Right.
About how to fix things around the home, about how to evaluate whether a project is something you can accomplish, the Handy Guy can accomplish.
And, that's right. And, you know, some things, springtime tips. You know, we've covered some of those on some previous episodes, so we kind of pulled in some of the highlights of those while we're talking with Joy.
So we thought we would put that interview, make it our podcast this week. But before we do that, let's give out our contact information if you have any questions.
Sure. You can always call us at area code 615-676-0877.
Or you can email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com. Always check out our website. Check out the Handy Guys Podcast store. If you have a question about any item out there, you can use the contact form on our site. Our show is sponsored by the Handy Guys Podcast Store.
Right.
Keeps the show on the air, and we have some, we put items in there that we highly recommend or we use ourselves, and hopefully they'll help you with your projects at home. Now, we know a lot of people cannot afford some of the products on there, especially if you're out of work, but hopefully you can check out our podcast and get some ideas on ways that, some of the jobs that you can do around the house and what tools you need and ways that you can, borrow tools from possibly your neighbor, your friend, to get the job done. You don't always need to buy them. So check out our podcast. Feel free to use the search engine that we have right on our website. If you need help with a particular job, maybe we have some information for you.
All right,
let's get to the interview. And now let's talk to Joy Brown from the Courier in Findlay, Ohio.
Well, our spring home improvement tab is going to focus on outdoor spring projects that people can do themselves. Things like replacing loose shingles, gutter replacement, maybe people want to put on a new deck to their home. So I was wondering if you could tell me what are some basic, relatively easy projects that come to your mind that you think most people would be able to tackle?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. And you mentioned, decks, gutters. What was the other thing?
Decks, gutters, maybe some loose shingles.
Oh, okay.
That people might want to deal with. Just anything outside that, might want to improve your home a little bit.
Sure.
or repair.
Well, we'll start with the gutters because the springtime is certainly a time you at least want to inspect your gutters at the very least because, with getting through the winter, you often see damage from the ice and the snow. And sometimes they start pulling away from the house or, you can have other problems like that. So, but as far as, and you can certainly, your handy person can certainly tackle the repair of them, and checking them out. And you just got to be careful, obviously with ladders. And, okay. Brian, you want to talk at all about, replacing gutters as a DIY project?
Yeah, sure. Usually the best way to go with replacing gutters, if they're completely damaged, bent, torn in the house, missing, whatever, it's usually best to hire that out because there's actually machines that make these gutters in continuous lengths so that you don't have seams. And then you're less prone to leaks and you get a much better installation that way. So that's not a do-it-yourself job.
Okay.
You can buy 10-foot lengths of gutter, but then you've got to have a way to transport them, and you're going to have seams and things like that. So it's usually, unless you've got a very small house, it's better to hire that out.
Okay.
Yeah, usually they fabricate them right on site and just, custom made for your house.
So. Right, and they're not that expensive, relatively speaking.
The other big thing around here, where we have a lot of older homes and a lot of big trees, is a lot of the gutter systems that have the one such system I think is called the gutter helmet, but there's several that, you know, protect your gutters from getting clogged with all the leaves and everything. So they're definitely not really DIY products.
Okay.
You can't buy them at the home center. So
what about roofing issues?
Sure, that's another common one, especially if you're in a high wind area where you might have a couple of shingles blow off,
yeah.
Something like that. And if your roof is not too steep and you feel comfortable getting up there, you can certainly replace just one or two shingles if that's necessary. One of the things that might be a symptom of, though, is an aging roof that ultimately is going to need complete replacement. And sometimes it's hard to find a shingles that will match. But you can get up there, and you know, usually when you do a new roof, it's advisable to get a few extra shingles and store them away in the garage, something like that, so that you will have a match when you do need them.
Okay.
And I know the pitch of the roof is often a problem. On my roof, it is very steep, so unless I'm going to, you know, get the rock climbing gear out, at least on part of my roof, I'm not going to even attempt it. I went up there once just to check it out, and it's just not safe for me to do it, and I'd rather just call an experienced roofer. I have the shingles, as Brian mentioned, but even though I'm very handy, I'm also realistic and, you know, I have kids to raise, so I don't feel like being in the hospital flat in my back. So
understandable.
Hey, Joy,
yeah, sure.
Some of these things, we actually did a show a couple of weeks ago. We called it the Springtime House Inspection, and we actually put a checklist out on our website, so your readers might be interested in that.
That would be great. That was actually my next question going to be, things that people might ignore, don't know about.
Yeah,
so
we did a whole, like, walk through your house, do your own home inspection, if you will. You know, we started on the outside, and we looked for, you know, things like you have already mentioned, the shingles and the gutters and things like that. Also some landscaping issues that can crop up over the winter that cause moisture in your basement if you have a basement. And then we bring the inspection inside, and we start up in the attic, you know, into the bathrooms and smoke detectors, plumbing, and into the basement, various utilities down there.
Okay.
So that might be a good resource for your readers.
Sure. Okay. I will definitely mention that. Are there any specific projects that people should absolutely rely on the experts for, like the gutter replacement that you can think of?
You know, it's going to depend on your ambition, your budget, your time commitment, the skills that you already have. And, you know, I think for some of us...
And potentially the local codes as well. Sometimes there's certain things that they won't allow you. For instance, like an HVAC system, if something indoors, but, you know, a lot of local codes don't allow you to install your own air conditioner. Even if you know how to do it, you need to be licensed and that sort of thing. So certain projects, the local code inspectors will, you know, not allow you to do yourself.
Right.
Okay.
So there's, you know, like when gas work is involved, quite often you're going to want to bring a professional in. For electrical, sometimes you may be required to bring a professional in, or sometimes you might just want to do that out of prudence if you're not comfortable doing your own electric work.
Okay.
Some of us will tackle almost any aspect of home building and home repair, home remodeling. But for the average do-it-yourselfer, you know, electrical, some plumbing perhaps, gas work, I think are things to really evaluate your own skills and see what you've what you can bring to the table and can't bring to the table and hire it out.
Okay. Well, that brings me to my next question, actually. How can people determine if they're ready or skilled enough to tackle a project?
Sure.
When do they say, okay, you know, I just can't do this. I need to stop and hire somebody.
Right. And that's, you know, the best thing to do, and you mentioned decks. Decks are a job that a lot of homeowners do themselves, and there's a few pieces to that project which are critical to be done right. And I think to answer your question, one of the best things to do is help somebody else build their deck first.
Okay.
You know, get obviously it's helpful to have some experience with something before you do it on your own home for the first time ever. That'll give you an idea of where your ability is, and, you know, do you understand the scope or the project? The other thing you can obviously do is, you know, do extensive research of it. There's plenty of books and internet and information out there to give you some guidance on a particular project.
Yeah, we did a whole series on, you know, can you finish your basement yourself, for example? And we talked over about seven different shows about various aspects of finishing your basement yourself. And one of our early shows was all about that topic of, you know, you really got to evaluate, can you do this yourself? Are you going to save any money doing it yourself? Or are you going to save any time or, you know, things like that. If you have to go out and buy a van load of tools and buy a truck to complete a job, then it's probably not going to pay for itself.
Okay.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
What are some of the contingencies that people should plan for, keep in mind with projects when before they start them? Money, obviously. Maybe set some extra aside just in case.
A lot of people are not realistic in their budget. So there's, you know, they'll think of the big things. You know, you're going to finish your basement. You're going to do a deck, for instance. And they'll measure out how much wood they're going to need. And they'll get a decent estimate. And then, you know, then the time comes, though, for, you know, joist hangers and other hardware and railings and lighting and doing the steps appropriately and all these other little things that begin to add up. So at first, you know, the screws, for instance, which need to be, you know, zinc coated or whatever, you don't think much of perhaps at first, but they start to add up. And a lot of times that's why people will underestimate their budget.
Okay.
Right. And the other thing people underestimate is the time.
Yes.
That's a big one. You know, you can figure on things going wrong. You know, I'm in the middle of a major kitchen remodel, and you know, I had an 8-week timeline, and I'm looking like I'm going to wrap it up on my 11th week. I had some supplier issues.
Which isn't too bad.
Yeah. So, I had some supplier issues. I had some stuff that wasn't quite right as far as parts, and, you know, it required a lot of back and forth and extra trips to the home center and things like that. One of the things I often do on projects is I measure project complexity by the number of trips to the home center. So I'll say, oh, that's going to be a 2-trip job or a 7-trip job or a 1-trip job, you know. And you got to factor that in, especially if you don't have a home center right around the corner.
Okay. Right. And so, and time is certainly a big element. You know, the disruption, if you have, if you're a busy, you know, you have a family that you also are taking care of, a day job, and the time is sometimes difficult, especially on these larger projects, which aren't just weekend jobs, but multiple weekend and evening jobs, and they can go on for quite a while, and it takes a lot of patience and persistence to get them completed. So,
okay, just a little background about you guys and your website. How did you guys come up with the idea to create it? I mean, I looked on the website, and I know there's some background information in terms of, you know, that you guys have done some projects over the years.
It's funny, and we need to improve some of that background info. We kind of wrote it really fast and haven't updated it. But basically, the website it started sort of from an idea I had. A lot of people, both Brian and I are handy. We do things around the house, do a lot of things. But Brian especially has done a lot of construction work, a lot of work of home improvement, not only on his own house, but on others. And the reason is he seems to be what I call the handy guy's handy guy. Everyone seems to go to him and ask some questions constantly. You know, I'll be around him and someone just comes up and asks him. So I originally started with the idea I was going to create a site called AskBrian.com. And then we decided that the URL for that was not available. And, you know, we just started sharing ideas. And before we know it, we came up with a podcast, and that was kind of the genesis of it. So we're both handy, but a lot of the format of our show is I'm your average handy guy, and we discuss things, and he's your handy guy's handy guy. So I look to him to kind of provide me with all the answers, and many times I don't tell him what the questions are going to be before the show. So I really put him
just
on the spot.
That's true.
A lot of the time.
Well, I mean, you know, we have show outlines, but like I said, he is who he is. I know that he will be able to answer my questions. So a lot of times I don't waste time telling him what the questions are before the show. So
thanks, Paul.
Are you guys getting a lot of hits and visitors because of the bad economy?
You know, that's a good question. We've had a decrease in the interest from sponsors. Everyone's watching their wallets,
okay.
But I think our visitor counts are certainly up this year, and number of listeners, number of subscribers are up. So that's all boding well. You know, part of our message is that, you know, you've got to do some of this maintenance around your house or you're going to run into lots of higher costs down the road. And so it's a good investment to invest in your house. Maybe it's not the right time to, you know, put in that $40,000 kitchen, but you know what? You need to maintain the caulk in your around your bathtub. Otherwise, you're going to have a leak into the wall and mold and bigger problems down the road.
A specific example of kind of what Brian is talking about is we had a listener who hasn't mowed his lawn or really taken care of it, of his gardens or his flowers or plants for 10 or 15 years. And in this down economy, unfortunately, he lost his job. And now he needs to mow his lawn. Well, he hasn't even touched his lawnmower in 15 years.
So
one of the questions he had for the handy guys was, how do I get this 15-year-old mower that started again?
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so this is what's happening out there. People are now, okay, I need to take care of my lawnmower. I need to figure out how to get it going. I need to sharpen the blade and that kind of thing. I can't afford to hire it out like I used to. And so that's so in that sense, yes, there's more listeners.
Okay. Have you guys, what's the most successful projects you've tackled on your own that you can think of? Some things that you're really proud of? Or, you know, on the flip side, are there projects that just didn't work out quite like you planned?
I would say for me, I just finished my basement last year. And, you know, that was a start-to-finish project. It was a pretty big project. It included a gas fireplace and a home theater and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I think it came out pretty good.
And a podcasting studio.
And a podcasting studio, right. And so it came out pretty good. And I'm pretty happy with that. And I'm also in the middle of doing a complete renovation on my parents' kitchen.
Wow.
Almost done that. And that was, you know, stripping everything down to the studs on a 60-year-old house and rebuilding from scratch. So looking forward to seeing that done maybe this weekend.
And for me, probably the basement, same with Brian, I finished my basement as well, and built in jacuzzi, spa, fireplace.
No,
I'm just but, you know, that was a good project. I would say, though, one of the most successful projects I've had, and I've had a lot of different projects. I rewired my own home, my old house. It was an old house. And things like that. But I would say I was in charge of a crew to rewire an entire home in Mississippi that had been damaged by Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
And my crew had never touched an electrical wire before, other than a lamp cord. And I was in charge of literally going in there and rewiring an entire house, a four-bedroom ranch-style house. And that was a challenge, not because I didn't know how to do the wiring. I did. I had some experience, but to train people who had never done it before. So that was fun.
I'll tell you, the quality of that job was on par with any full-time electrician professional. It was nice and neat, properly labeled, and very successful.
Very good.
I was impressed. Any disasters, Paul?
Oh. Not anything that you want to admit to, right?
I'm trying to think. The one thing and is not uncommon is, you know, you start doing a bigger project. I don't have a great back. I have problems with my back, so I have to be careful. You know, and you can get back. Yeah, you have to learn your own body when you do these things. If you do a deck, you may be digging a 3-foot foundation footer for your posts. And
moldable.
Yeah, and I have to be careful because I could dig it, or I could get an auger or a machine to do it. But even then, that's a heavy machine, so that could still do damage to my back. So I have to be realistic there. And so that's one thing. The other thing that a lot of handy guys will have struggle with, and I'm one of them, is drywall in the house to do the joints. And that's as much of an art or, you know, it's a trade that is a skill that's not easy to pick up. Some people can do it, but I get very frustrated with it, and so I'm happy to pass it off on someone
else.
It's
very dirty as well, so, I know.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
So. Yeah, I would say, you know, I have a similar story with drywall. I was I put an addition on an old house that I was living in a number of years ago, and doing it all myself, it took me probably 6 weekends to do the drywall, and I had some funny angles, and they just weren't coming out right. And there was a new house going in across the street, and I went over and talked to the foreman when their drywall guys were there. He sent over 3 guys, and in a couple hours, they had it fixed up, what I had been messing around with for you know, weeks. Yep. And so, yeah, know your limitations. And that was a little frustrating. I wanted to do every single aspect of that job myself, and I gave up, and I brought in a pro.
Okay. Besides you guys' website, are there any resources that you can turn people to in terms of books or maybe some other websites for do-it-yourself projects? Or information, where to start, you know, what you need to know.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first, you know, figure out your project, because there's a number of great resources that are more project specific. So, for example, if you're going to do tiling and you've never done it before, you know, drop us a line, but we're probably going to refer you over to a guy named John Bridge, is it, Paul? The John Bridge Tile Forum. And there's tiling professionals, and they all participate in an online forum and can really steer you in the right direction on what the latest and greatest technologies are there. So that's one example.
Okay. There's a plumbing forum. Who's the
John,
guy?
Terry Love.
Terry Love, yeah. He's right. Got a great he's a plumber. He started a forum on his website, and that's the place to go for plumbing questions. Right. You know?
Yeah, we'll take the basic ones, and if it gets really complicated, we'll send you over there.
If you have specific woodworking issues, we send you to?
We send you to the Wood Whisperer, because we get, you know, both Paul and I do a little bit of amateur woodworking and build furniture and so forth from time to time when we have time. But there's a guy who calls himself the Wood Whisperer, and he does beautiful work.
Okay.
And he's got podcasts and videos and web pages all about how to do various woodworking things. It's very nice.
Well, it sounds like there's just a ton of resources online for people to go to, too, which is nice. I don't necessarily have to buy a big book.
Right. And what, you know, our resource, we're really out to we're really to help everyone. We're not necessarily just interested in the handy guy, but maybe if you find yourself in a home and you're not so handy, we want to be available for that person as well, and you know, also provide an opportunity if you want to listen to us while you're driving to work.
Okay.
You can do that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So we take questions from listeners via the phone, via email. We have a contact form and all of that, and people just drop us questions and we answer them right away. And then we may use them in a podcast. We may not, but we always get back to that person if we have the information. And if we don't, we'll send them somewhere else. So we just, these shows come out once a week on Thursday afternoons, 5 o'clock Eastern. The shows go live or go on the air, so to speak.
Okay.
And we produce them usually, you know, Friday nights. We set aside some time in the studio to record.
So we're truly homeowner handy guys. We're not contractors that are also trying to disseminate, you know, handy guy information.
Okay.
Right. We're not actors either. So.
Now, are you guys based in Pennsylvania? Okay.
Yes.
We're in Pennsylvania.
Phoenixville area. It's near Valley Forge. It's southeastern Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we thank Joy Brown from The Courier in Findlay, Ohio, for that interview. That was a lot of fun, Brian.
Yeah.
And Brian, you know, she asked a question there about one of the projects that maybe didn't go so well.
Uh-oh.
And after that interview, you realized that you had forgotten one small project where it was kind of a disaster. I want you to tell our listeners about it.
Oh, you want to hear that story?
Yeah, they need to know that you're human.
Okay, here it is. So I was helping a friend trim a tree. I had my nice new Husqvarna 372 XP chainsaw out there and taking down a pretty big limb. Well, my friend was an avid gardener. He didn't want me to drop that limb on his petunias or whatever they were. I don't know my flowers. And So he insisted I rig that limb up in a certain way so that it wouldn't fall on his flowers. And I said, Mark, this, I shouldn't use his name. I said, it's not going to go.
It wasn't me.
It's going to go really close to your neighbor's house that way. I'm really worried about it. He goes, you know, don't worry about it. If something happens, we'll take care of it. And I said, all right. Anyway, so.
famous last words.
Yeah, famous last words. So I cut the limb, and sure enough, it did swing a little further than we had hoped, but I was kind of thinking nonetheless it would, and it hit the side of a house, and aluminum siding on the side of the house, of course, which doesn't bounce back, doesn't take dents right. So well, and it actually pushed a stud out into the family room, and then... It splintered out some paneling on the inside. Anyway, it left a 1 hour tree trimming job. It turned into an all weekend rebuild the wall, repanel, paint, new siding, the whole nine yards.
Good thing it wasn't drywall.
Yeah, that's right. So we were able to find matching or close to matching siding. Had to redo the entire wall on the outside.
So there you go. There's a better story for Joy if she's listening to this podcast.
That's a disaster story.
All right.
It's quite embarrassing. Thanks for bringing that up,
Paul. Thanks for, exposing yourself there, Brian, for the hack that you are.
right.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this podcast and gave us an idea of where we are as far as our thoughts on projects around the house. We've covered a lot of these already in previous podcasts, but now the folks in Ohio hopefully can hear our ideas and hopefully they'll check out the podcast.
That's right. And read about us in the paper in Findlay, Ohio.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.